Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 5 of John's Basement Podcast. I am your host, John, as you might have known. And I am excited to announce that as of this episode, and hopefully all episodes going forward, I am going to be partnered with Social Distancing Radio. This is a new radio station run by my high school buddy, Will Adwar. Really cool guy. Used to play shows with him back when we were both in high school in a garage rock scene. And yeah. I'm also going to give a shout out to Quadio, where these will be going directly to, in addition to me putting it on Anchor FM, which is how I get onto Spotify. And one other change that I will be noting, I'm having a lot of difficulty uploading last week's episode to YouTube. There is video for it. I don't think you'll ever see that video, unfortunately, though. I'm finding that the files are getting too large as I make these episodes a little bit longer, because I do like to have a nice longer podcast, but my file size is much too large to render. So in order to reduce the size of the files, I'm going to try to only do the videos for the portion of these podcasts that I upload to YouTube. I'm only going to put the video sections as the Zoom interviews that I've been doing. So if you're watching this on YouTube, I apologize. You will not see my face. I don't think you'll be too upset about it. The only time you will see my face is when I'm doing the interviews, which we'll be getting to later in this episode. This week, we are going to have a special guest, Buster Scheuer from the band Sheep 52. Typically, I try not to double post artists, or at least I went into this, I'm only 5 episodes into this, so I haven't even had a chance to come across this yet, but I don't like to double post the same band for a few reasons, because I do like to give as many different artists the chance to be played. However, I am interviewing Buster, and Buster does have new releases coming out. I interviewed Bobby last week, who's also his bassist. If you didn't see that episode yet, go back, check that out. It was an awesome interview. Bobby's an awesome dude. I also debuted one of his songs that just recently came out. But those are the changes that I'm addressing going forward. And today I'm going to be playing a Cheap 52 track, hopefully a new one that is going to be coming out unreleased, if Buster gives me permission. If not, I'll be playing an old one. And then I'm going to be playing some other tunes, and you're going to have to stay tuned to find out. And by stay tuned, I mean literally listen within the next, several minutes. So yeah, we have reached one of the next several minutes. Starting off our artists for today, I'm going to be playing a song called Radioactive Days by an artist named Chris Golan. I really hope I'm pronouncing that right. I apologize if I'm not, Chris. Chris is from Florida. He is a signed artist under Rugrat Records, which is the same record label that signed The Ned, who, if you've listened to my podcasts previously, you will know I've played in the past. They are awesome dudes. The Ned, Rugrat, and Chris Golan has some really cool music that I'm going to play for you. This song is called Radioactive Days. It was recently featured in Narrow Magazine of St. Augustine. I never know if I'm pronouncing that right. I feel like I'm not. But from Florida, they are a featured artist. They had a whole magazine write-up written about them. They are from Palm Coast, Florida, and I am very excited to play them. So here we go. This is Radioactive Days by Chris Golan.
Who calls the winter's blood?
I hope you enjoyed that. That was Radioactive Days by the Rugrat Records signed artist all the way from Palm Coast, Florida, Chris Golan. And the whole Rugrat Records scene is always welcome on this podcast and this radio show, depending on where you're listening to it from. I'm so self-conscious to breathe. That sounds really stupid, but, like, I have my mic finally, like, at a level that I enjoy, but, like, in my monitors, it's so loud. So every time I breathe through my nose, you hear that? It's, like, so fucking loud. Like, how do I... I'm definitely, like, overly thinking this, but, damn, it's just, like, I'm out of breath because I'm not breathing. How do talk show hosts do this? I'm so in awe. All my praise to talk show hosts and to radio hosts and all of the above, anything in between. But yes, the next artist that I'm going to be playing for you guys today is Hannah Grenand. I actually went to high school with her, and I currently attend college with her. Crazy how fate works. We both attend Pace University in New York City, how I miss it so. And this song is off of her debut EP, Kiss Me. It is three amazing songs that you should all check out. She is a fantastic singer and has a beautiful voice. And if you're curious, she's actually listened. She's actually sang on my album, Sunset Skies. If you ever get the chance to listen to that track too, it is probably our least streamed song, and I will be very honest about that. But it's a good song. She's a fantastic vocalist, and I think she makes the song so beautiful. That's the song Take Me Down off of my album by Spitfire, Sunset Skies. But I'm not here to talk about me right this second. I'm here to talk about Hannah. This song is called Kiss Me. It's off of her debut EP. You should definitely check her out. You should follow her on social media. She's wonderful. She's a beautiful voice, and I'm a big fan of hers. So here we go. Kiss Me by Hannah Grenand.
Try, but I can't escape what
The only word that can come into my head after listening to Hannah's music is wow. She is so fantastically talented, and I am so lucky to have her as a friend, and I hope that I get to collaborate with her on more projects in the future, once this whole quarantine mess is over, or during, who knows. I don't really know what the fuck is going on. Really trying to make the whole recording music thing work. This is the part in the episode where I take a break to ramble about something you probably don't care about, but you're listening, so I guess you do care about it. I'll give you guys an update on my career, because I'm excited. I don't know if you give a shit, but I give a shit. Recently, and by recently I mean yesterday, it is currently April 29th, so on April 28th, 2020, it's really not that big of a deal, but it's a big deal to me. GovBall, if you guys are familiar with one of the most popular American music festivals currently, they made a playlist, and they put one of our songs from my band in their playlist, and that's pretty cool. It's not one of their official lineup playlists, but it is one of their playlists, and I am very honored to be on a playlist made by GovBall. So if GovBall happens to see this episode or listen to this episode, you have my sincere thanks. You are awesome, and I hope to play on your roster someday soon. That would be a fucking dream come true. Playing GovBall, could you imagine? It's a shame that, I don't know the fate of GovBall right now. Is it being moved? Is it being canceled? They might have announced it. I'm not very up to date. But, yeah, GovBall, book my band, please. We would love to play. Give us the shittiest time slot you have. We'll take it. We'll take it and we'll love it. Give us two songs. We'll play the one you put in the playlist and we'll find one that doesn't suck. I promise. But, yeah, as I also mentioned, this podcast is being picked up by Social Distancing Radio, which is pretty awesome. Very excited. I guess I'm officially a radio talk show host. Technically. Still a podcast. But it is going up on a radio station. So I guess by logic, that makes me a radio show host. Can I change my Instagram bio? Maybe. Probably not. Probably won't. But I do believe that it is now time for me to get into the first and only interview for today. I think I'm only going to do one interview going forward just because I don't want these episodes to run too long. Also gives me more content for future episodes if I only do one artist an episode. Oh, wow. Can you hear that? I'm like touching my beard. Damn, this microphone is so sensitive. Yeah, I'm going to get into an interview by my very good friend Buster Scheuer from the band Cheap 52, a longtime friend of mine, a former collaborator, the drummer on several songs of my own, and a very good friend to me since I was about 15 years old. So, very excited, and I hope you guys enjoy what we have to say. And if you're going to be watching this on YouTube, this part you can see. So, I will see you there. Again. Hello. Hopefully this stays consistent for like 25 minutes.
Hello.
So Mr. Buster, I'm very happy to have you here, and this will be the second time in a week that you've been mentioned on my podcast. If you saw me and Bobby.
Really?
Yeah, me and Bobby were in this last week, talking lots about Cheap 52, and was talking about how when we recorded Sind Again, how your idea with that guitar harmony made me cry when we recorded it.
I remember that. That was one of my proudest moments ever producing. And I was just listening back to that album because I spent so much time mixing it that I never got to enjoy it. Because when you're mixing, you're literally looking for like everything wrong that you're doing, and it's exhausting and painful. And so sometimes you start to like dislike everything you hear, which makes mixing much harder. But I listened back today and I was really impressed because I love Androids, and I never got to appreciate how awesome that song is. And what we did with it, I think, is pretty cool. And generally with that album, we got a lot of harmonies in where I was just kind of playing around with that, and we were kind of experimenting and seeing if we would keep all this stuff on, but we kept most of all the experimental stuff we did. So that was a really great experience for me, and I appreciate you letting me have that.
I appreciate you doing it for me. That was, always recording with you is always fun. It's very it's more than just like recording songs. Like when I work with you, it's interesting because it's like not only am I recording the songs that I wrote, but it's also getting to work with someone who's as talented as yourself and listening to your amazing input and your insight. And you know, so like you can hear things like that. That's like the thing, because it's interesting because Spitfire started as like my solo project and you were there for all of that. So the benefit of not having a solo project truly just being me is that like sometimes you can hear something that I won't hear that'll make the song good. And it's good to have that, especially from you personally. Because I love the things that you can hear that I can't hear, because anything you hear is always good. And it's always a joy. Because, I mean, that whole outro, that last chorus to Sind Again, I mean, that was, like, for the most part, your idea. And I was just going to do, like, a regular chorus, which would have been fine. But, like, the chorus that you suggested just sounded so much cooler. So I'm so glad that that we got to do that.
I love finding ways to end songs better than they started. But also have the songs not suck when they start. I think that's important too. But, you know, I think a good ending can really make the person want to listen to the song over and over again. And so what I did with Sind Again, I like octaves and, you know, doing the octave guitar thing where you just kind of hammer away at some little harmony, kind of like a Muse. I hear that a lot in Muse. And so I do that kind of inspired by that. But for androids, I liked that ending the best.
That was
because I, you know, I've heard like these more like recent rock bands kind of do more modern things with their production, and like kind of they'll like have the pitch go down all the way at the end, or like have it start cutting out and phasing out. So I tried to do that, and it sounds way cooler than I thought it did. So I think little things like that can really just make someone find the song more attractive after the fact that they've listened to it, you know, and they get the feeling that, like, sometimes when you listen to a good song, you kind of remember that feeling that you got when you listened to it, and you're like, damn, I wish I could have that. So you listen to the song again.
Fucking awesome. I love that. That's like an awesome philosophy on like writing and like producing a song. So speaking of songs and production and whatnot, I hear you have a new release coming up on the horizon.
Indeed, I do. So I started recording as soon as school got canceled for me, or in-person classes. You know, I got to stay home, and so I started writing a lot, and these aren't even songs that I wrote recently. These are mostly songs that I wrote last. But I started recording during this break, and I found myself like really focusing on it, because, you know, there's not a whole lot to focus on right now. There's you can't go out and see your friends. I can't play shows. And so when like that part is missing, I'm kind of overcompensating with another thing. And that's just been producing and recording music. And you know, it's not just those three songs that I've recorded. I've been recording demos and whatnot, but this little EP, just a three song, two, you know, rock and one kind of acoustic EP, is coming out May 1st. It's called Past the Time. But my band is a little bit stupid sometimes. So we were going to name the EP Brick, because the album cover is just some bricks. And they were really insistent on that, but the guy I'm working with to release it, Colin Ratcliffe, of Mustard Man Records, you know, he did not enter that in, thankfully. So it's just going to be called Past the Time. But the album cover is still bricks, so you can enjoy that.
I'm very excited for these bricks.
Yeah.
And with your permission, might I be able to play one of the songs off of this upcoming release on this podcast?
Of course. Of course you can, King.
So yes. So I don't know if I told you yet. I mentioned it earlier in this episode, which you have no use to yet because it's not out yet. But this podcast is getting picked up by my friend Will, who just started a college radio station. So this is technically awesome. A radio show now. So that's some radio airplay for your upcoming release.
Wow.
That's May 1st. That's Friday, right?
Yeah, that is this Friday. It's Wednesday right now. Sorry. Just 2 days before.
I cannot wait.
Yeah. I kind of write songs way earlier than I record them. And these songs were written like right after I went through a really nasty breakup. Not nasty as in like not amicable, but just like the worst, you know, heartbreak, whatever. As much as a high schooler can feel, I guess. But
yeah, shit, all feelings, man.
Okay. Yeah, shit's hard. But you know, I think those songs meant a lot to me, and I think writing those songs and recording them and having a finished product like kind of helps you deal with the feelings that you felt, and it kind of ties up some loose ends for you. Because when I listened back to that song, you know, I didn't feel like the same things that I felt when I wrote it. And I think that's like, that's a really cool thing. Like it can be a healing process too. But you know, it doesn't have to be, but it can really help with like figuring out like what you're feeling and accepting it. And you have like a solid thing, not necessarily tangible, but you can listen to it and you can hear it. And it's not just like your thoughts making you crazy. So anyways, that's just my way of saying like, I'm so glad that I released these goddamn songs, because I just wanted them to be out. Like, I didn't want to have to keep re-recording or dealing with like hearing the demo or whatever. I just wanted them to get out and be done with them.
No, I totally feel that though. I mean, when I wrote Androids, which you were talking about a couple seconds ago, that's totally how I was feeling. I wrote Androids when I was like, I think it was the day after I got dumped in high school, and it was just like, I'm over it now, obviously, because it's been so long, but like in the moment it was a big deal. So you write a song about it, and hopefully when you're done you don't feel quite as shitty as you did when you started writing it, and that's like the beauty of being a songwriter. It's like a catharsis. So if you can't verbally say what you're feeling and formulate it and put it into a way with words that makes you feel better, you can put it into music. And I mean, I think it's pretty safe to say if I put my guitar in drop D, I'm going to be feeling some kind of way.
Yeah.
And it's like,
that's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Good way to put it. Yeah. Like if ever I write a song in drop D, I'm definitely probably going through something, but, or any form of drop tuning for that matter. But it's one of my favorite songs off of the album. And it was just such an important thing. And I don't ever really publicly said this, and I don't know if I should, but I will.
good idea.
Went into the music I love, which was about the same breakup, but it happened, like that song came out so many like months even after the breakup itself happened. And it was just like, it's also the reason I chose to do that in song order was I thought that was important to have like the continuity of like what I was feeling from that angsty, kind of angry but not ill-intended song into an acoustic song that was more delicate, because I mean that's kind of how I was feeling at the time. And it was interesting too, I remember when I wrote The Music I Love, you actually suggested the name for that, which is the funny part about that song. It was all your input in these in the music that I write. But the acoustic song came because I remember it was the night before Spitfire was going to do our first mini tour, and I was so excited that I literally could not sleep. I was just so excited at the thought of going on an adventure, like a small 3 to 4 show tour in Jersey farther away, and I just could not sleep. So I remember I was literally watching like fucking Spider-Man. I was watching the old Spider-Man cartoon that came out.
Oh, the cartoon one.
Yeah. The old school, like not the old school. There's a bunch of Spider-Man cartoons. I think it was the one that came when we were kids. And it was probably like 5 a.m. and then all of a sudden that song just kind of poured out of me. And I said, like, and by that point, all the songs that we were intending on recording were almost done. And I remember I was like, no, this song has to go on the album. It has to be the last song on the album. It was supposed to be 10 songs. And then that song kind of just poured out of me. And it was that became song 11.
I had like a very similar thing on this EP, which is only three songs, but two of the three songs are about the same thing. And you know, one of them is softer, and that one actually, against your advice, which I asked for, that one comes before the louder one. Because for whatever reason, like, I have this thing where I always want to put the most like emotional song the one before last, and then the most powerful one in at last, so like it ends on like a very strong note. And that's just how I've written albums, and that's because, you know, I used to, or I think when Green Day released Revolution Radio, it had a similar thing, except more like yours, I guess, where the acoustic song was last. But you know, I always like, I really loved their song placement and like where they put stuff on the albums. So even if it's a three song EP, you know, it's important to like put thought into where you place those things, because they can leave the person that is listening feeling like completely different by the end of the thing. It's like a whole different journey. Not to sound like a Grateful Dead guy, you know, like,
no, it's
all part of the journey, but
I totally agree with what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I wrote like two different songs with very different feelings about the same thing. And that's also helpful to like compartmentalize the different stages of feelings that something can put you through. And that, you know, I'm really excited to be able to like release that to the world and to the people who are listening.
I'm excited for people to hear it too, man. Oh, I'm so like happy that like I get these early looks at this shit, because it's just, I really am, aside from being your friend, I really am such a huge fucking fan of your music. It's just, you have not written a bad song. And Michael and I were, for those of you who may have not seen my previous episodes, Michael's my best friend and also my bassist in my band. And we were on a road trip to Philly over winter break in, I want to say it was probably December, maybe it was January. And we were driving down to Philly, so we had a good like 2-hour drive ahead of us. And we were listening to your whole album. And we were like, you know, his EP was such a good, like, this is a fucking good song. And we're like, well, yeah. Are there any misses on his album? And we listened to the whole album again. We had already listened to it again, like, for the millionth time. And we were just like, you know what? No. There is no miss on this album. Every single song on this album is a fucking amazing song.
That's very sweet. You know, I actually took a road trip to Philly with my band in February. So just a month after you did. And I love Philadelphia. I'm going to school in Philadelphia. But I mean, I love it there. And we had the best time there. Me, Michael Schwartz, and Bobby, who you just had on.
Yes, sir.
You know, it felt like it was like the most boys trip possibly imagined. Like we had like one hotel room, and we watched The Joker after we performed, and then we got room service in the morning. It was just like, it was like the best boys trip ever. And one thing I'm actually sad about is that I didn't get to have Michael and Bobby play on the EP. Though we're gonna have new music with them playing their different stuff. But you know, I didn't write them, but I thought of recording these songs so fast, and I I just needed to record them so fast that I didn't have the time to teach the parts through Zoom or FaceTime or whatever.
Yeah, it's definitely.
But we're gonna release some. We're probably gonna release like another EP that is gonna be slightly longer. You know, 5 or 6 songs sometime later in the year. So
I cannot wait to hear anything. I love the second I hear your writing, I get excited, I get antsy, and I'm like, when? I need to know when. And it's dude, it is so fucking hard recording in this time period. Like the way that we're kind of doing it with Spitfire is we're assembly lining it. So it's like I'll send, and it's kind of normally how I do it, but we're just in all in person when we do it, so it takes less time. Mm-hmm. So like I'll record a voice memo on my phone where it's just me playing like an acoustic version with the same structure. Excuse me. And then I send it to Jake. And then Jake's like, okay, I'll get this back to you when I can. And Jake's working right now. So that's another thing. He's got like, he's still doing delivery for Planet Wings.
Oh,
so
damn.
A food delivery guy, an essential worker.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And he'll record his parts and then he'll email it to me, or he'll put it in like a shared folder on Google Drive. And then Michael will listen to it with me. And then usually I do it next. So then I'll put like my vocals on it, and then I'll put my guitar on it. And then Michael will add his bass parts after I put that in the folder. And then we send it all to Nick, who then adds his parts and then masters it. So we have hopefully 2 songs finished already. I'm trying to do an album. I don't know if it's going to stay an album. It might become an EP. It might become singles. We don't know. Also depends on how the quality of everything comes out. Becomes in the end, but the drums should sound constant because we usually record Jake's drums at his house anyway.
Yeah, and he's a very constant player.
Oh yeah. Dude, like I listen back to the, it's interesting too because like I never listen to them before he sends them to me, so I'll send him my stuff, but then when he sends it back to me, I'm always surprised listening to it, and it's always so fucking good. I'm just like, damn, love having him.
Yeah,
it takes so long to do it.
I tried to do a little something with Michael and Bobby recently, and it was hard. But it'll probably take a bit. But you know, when I was recording Jake, I remember like there was one part of a song where he just kind of he messed up a bit and he kept going. So I just took like the whole chunk of another verse, and this is without any metronome or anything, like he was just playing so constantly that I could take, oh actually no, it was your guitar part, you wanted to extend the song of something by like a little bit, and I just took a chunk of what Jake played, and it was perfect. It was like I was so surprised. He's literally the most like on time. Well, maybe not like, you know, maybe he's tardy sometimes, but he's he's got really great tempo, really great, you know, built in kind of set beat, and he's got groove, and he's a really skilled, fantastic drummer. So when I was looking for drummers for Cheap 52 before I met Michael or anything, or even Johnny, who was the first drummer, you know, I was thinking of drummers and I was like, never going to get someone as good as Jake.
Because of Jake. It's like sometimes I'll go to like open mics and I'll play with like these fantastic musicians and people who are like, to their own credit, fantastic drummers, but I'm so used to Jake's playing or your playing. So I'm just like, you know, it just doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right. And it's like, it's not saying that the musicians that I play with are bad. It's just I've had the luxury of playing with 2 fantastic drummers, and anyone else just doesn't feel right. Like, it doesn't compare. Like, if I'm watching them, I'm like, yeah, they're really good. But if I'm playing with them, I'm like, the vibe is off. And it's like, if the vibe is off, you can't click. And that's another reason I love having Jake in the band, because, I mean, we have, like, this telepathic musician's connection, and it's just like, okay, this is the song, it's coming from my brain, and through like the most minimal amount of words, it'll go from my brain to his brain, and he just gets it, and it's just like clicks and he writes it. And it's not only exactly how I envisioned it, but it's better. And it's just, that's like so fucking rare.
Mm, yeah, definitely. That's, I mean, I've only written a couple songs with Bobby and Michael. They've only written a few of their parts before, and for unreleased songs. And so, you know, writing like, most of the time I'm writing the demos, I'm recording the demos, and then I send them to them and they learn it as best they can.
Right.
But it's really special when they add on what they think sounds good, and it really works better than I thought it could, you know, like,
yeah.
I'm used to playing on my own because I'm used to not having a drummer. Like in freshman and sophomore year, I was writing a lot of songs, but there's a drummer shortage.
Right.
And so I had to learn, and that was helpful for me. But, you know, playing with other people really lets me work outside what I thought was possible in the first place. And especially with a guy like Michael, you know, he's like the sweetest dude I've met, and he's really compassionate, and it kind of comes across in his drumming in a weird way. Like he's not overly, you know, he doesn't have too much flair to the point where like the song is on fire and you need someone to take a hose, and you know, but he does have these little things he does that really like that really push the song in a better direction. And I think like that's really admirable. And you know, with Bobby is a nut and I love him. And he has like his own special thing, which is this cool finger style, sometimes chords, like
right.
He'll just go crazy when he feels like it's appropriate, but he has that brain to know when it's appropriate and when it's going to be cool to do that. And that's also the bright side of having a drummer and a bassist who are both producers, because they, you know, they record music and they know what's going to sound good, and what might be a little too much or might not be enough. So
it's very all around cool shit, and we're just about at our time limit for today, unfortunately.
Gotcha.
So, but it's been a pleasure having you on the podcast / radio show, my man. I'm very excited for your new EP. If you have anything you want to say to the world before we sign off, go right ahead.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. John. I very much appreciate the time. And my EP is coming out. Our EP is coming out on May 1st. And it's called Pass the Time. So look up Pass the Time by Cheap 52. And also, you know, I want to give a shout out to my friend Sam, because I send him some of my mixes and he'll, you know, either just be like, good, or he'll be like, bass is a little loud. So it's, you know, it's helpful to have a friend who'll just do that.
For sure.
So yeah, Sam Levin, and he has his own music. And of course you, I mean, you're the man, you are my man. And I appreciate very much all that you've done for me. And, you know, I was really inspired, to make music in the first place, 'cause I went to a punk show and I saw you playing in Fracture, and,
glory days.
Yeah, the glory days. And that, you know, that took me on this whole other like path in my life. And so I'm very thankful to you, brother.
And I'm thankful to you, man. All of my music is possible because I've had you in the beginning drumming for me and producing for me. And I'm very excited for what both of our careers have in store for us. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
Buster Molino, as it says on my screen, Buster Schiller from T52. Check him out. Really awesome musician. Fantastic human being. And his EP is coming out this Friday, so be sure to check that out. Cheap 52. That is Cheap, spelled out, the numbers, 5-2. Check it out. Stream him. Stream everything. And I'll catch you later, Buster. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much, John.
Once again, that was Cheap 52's very own Buster Scheuer, one of my long-term friends, and I love him very dearly. I'm very happy that I was able to get him for an interview. And as we mentioned in that interview, he has a new EP coming out this Friday, May 1st, called Pass the Time by Cheap 52. I'm going to give you guys an early peek and play the title track, Pass the Time, right now. Be sure to check it out. Be sure to follow them on social media, Cheap 52. That is the word cheap and the numbers 52. And I hope you guys enjoy it. I love Buster very much, and I love his music. I genuinely say that not as his friend only, but also as a genuine fan of music. He is such a talented songwriter, so without more speaking, which I love to do apparently, Cheap 52, Pass the Time. Here you guys go. Hope you love it.
Take me and break my heart, 'cause time.
Once again, that was Past the Time by Cheap 52, and that is all I have to say for the rest of tonight. Thank you for tuning in. If you have not seen my other episodes in previous past, go check those out. I've got 4 episodes uploaded on Quadio, on Spotify, probably anywhere else that you would listen to a podcast. If you're listening to this on social distancing radio or through Will's broadcast, thank you so very much, and I'm very appreciative, and I hope I get to do more of this for you guys. And yeah, I'm going to play a Spitfire track and play myself out of here. Thank you guys, and have a wonderful night.